We're going to continue in our series on marriage illusions, and we're finding clarity in the Word of God that leads to happiness in our relationships. There's a lot of things talked about out there that says it'll work, but it doesn't. And we need to make sure we're applying biblical principles to relationships that matter so very much to us. And this morning, we're going to talk about the communication illusion. And whenever you talk about communication in the context of marriage or family, there's always something we can learn or adjust to communicate better, because communication can be a difficult thing in relationships. Reminds me of a man who was having difficulty communicating with his wife, and he concluded that the issue was that she had just become hard of hearing. And so he decided to test just how bad it had gotten with his wife. And so she was sitting in a chair with her back to him, and he kind of went on the other side of the room, and he began to call out her name and said, "Can you hear me?" And he did it the first time, and sure enough, no response. She couldn't hear him. And that's what he thought. So he moved a little closer, and he said, "Can you hear me?" Again, nothing. He moved a little closer yet. And, "Can you hear me?" Again, nothing coming. Finally, he's right behind her, and he says, essentially right in her ear, "Honey, can you hear me?" And she says to him, "Honey, for the fourth time, yes, I can hear you." And it wasn't her. But anyway, you'll get that a little bit later. A couple was getting ready for bed one night, and the wife said, "You know, when I look in the mirror, I just see a woman who's getting older. My face is getting wrinkled. My body is not what it used to be, and I'm just frustrated." And her husband was there listening to that, and there's no winning in that situation. So he just sat there very silently, and she said, "Hey, aren't you going to say something to, you know, make me feel positive, to reinforce, to affirm, to help me out?" And he thought about it for a minute. He said, "Well, your eyesight is perfect." And communication. Let's talk about that, shall we? The communication illusion says we just cannot communicate with one another. Now, sometimes a husband and wife will come to a place in a relationship where they will say, "We just cannot communicate. We try. We put some things into practice, but it's just not working." And we believe this because maybe because we've tried, or maybe because we really haven't tried at all. And many times it's the willingness to make the necessary adjustments so that can we communicate properly and successfully in our relationship. Now, the Bible has a ton to say about communication. The words that we say, even the words we don't say but we think about, the Bible has a lot to say about these things. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." And God wants you and I to know what is acceptable. And sometimes in our relationships, maybe we speak and we're not accustomed, or we're not aware, or we're not growing in the area of what is acceptable. How should a godly husband communicate? How should a godly wife communicate? And we want to know from God's Word how that communication should look. And James chapter 3 is a powerful passage on communication. If you ever want to know the power of the words you speak, go back to James chapter 3. And look with me this morning at that passage beginning in verse number 2. The Bible says, "For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." By the way, have you ever stopped and wondered, how did all of this happen over just something I said? Reminds me of that in verse 5. Verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpents, and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And I think a survey look at James chapter 3 at least gives you caution to, wow, the tongue is full of deadly poison. No man can tame it. I better be careful with how I use my tongue. I better be careful with the choice of my words and my communication in our relationship. And there's a lot of hindrances to communication today for marriages and families, busy schedules, the addiction to media, whether it's a phone or a computer or television or something, that certainly will take away from communication. The fear, if we talk too much, we're going to talk about stuff that we don't like to talk about, that's going to lead to conflict and problems. So it's easier if we just don't talk, and then we don't have problems. And all of these kinds of things kind of work in our minds to distract us from the importance of healthy communication in our marriage. Dr. David May said, couples must have a mutually agreed upon system of talking with and listening to each other. Since all communication is learned, what is not helpful can be unlearned and new skills substituted for those that hinder the relationship. So if you're here this morning and you say, Gabe, honestly, in our relationship, we do struggle with communication, or there's some aspects of it that could be better, be encouraged this morning. The wrong skills can be unlearned. The right ones can be learned. Every one of us are still a work in progress, and we all have room for growth. Nobody has arrived, and we all can get better. Now, it starts with a desire, but then it must be followed up with the implementing of biblical truth. There's got to be some adjustments we make to how we live, how we relate, and how we communicate for a healthy and strong marriage. And so let's look at some biblical principles regarding communication this morning that will help us debunk the communication illusion and strive and thrive in this area. And I want to look at three possibilities concerning communication with God's help. Number one, you can communicate with depth. You can communicate with depth. Sometimes couples will get frustrated because, yeah, maybe there's communication, but there's not deep communication. It's all very surface. It's all about, you know, what's happening today, or what's on your plate, or what's on my plate, or we're kind of discussing what we have to survive and to get through, but we're not getting any deeper than that. We're not learning about each other. We're not sharing things that would draw us closer together in an intimate way, but every one of us can communicate with depth if we apply the principles of the Word of God. So let's understand, what does that communication look like? Well, letter A, deep communication is open and transparent. And there is a need for us to be open and transparent with our spouse. Sometimes in relationships, we might feel the need to be guarded or to protect something or keep it close to the vest. But there needs to be an openness in the context of the marriage relationship. In 1 John 4:18, the Bible says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. In some relationships, because of our fear of man, we're hesitant to share something or to open up about something, because what will that person think of us? How will they treat us after knowing this? What will this change about our relationship? There's a hesitancy there. But in the context of marriage, when there is love that is affirmed, when there is commitment that is known, then there's an ability to be open and transparent one with the other. John Powell, in his book, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am?, talked about the five levels of communication. He talked about cliche communication, you know, the weather and things that anybody would talk about. He talked about speaking just about fact and just what was known to the other person. He talked about then sharing opinion and beginning to go a little deeper. Then he talked fourthly about emotional sharing. Emotional sharing for most men is not something we do well. It's something we have to work at, and we have to work to share those things with our spouse. But emotional sharing talked about being a depth of communication needed in marriage. And then fifthly was transparency, truly sharing how one would feel, think, or need. And we want to make sure that we are transparent in our communication. Oftentimes, a marriage may not be where it could be, thriving and strong, because there are some elements to the relationship that draw tension, that when they come to the surface, they're something that divides rather than unifies. And we really need to work at being transparent. Yes, affirming love and acceptance, but being transparent about something on our heart so that we can resolve it and work it through. And deep communication is that. It's open and it's transparent. Dennis Rainey said, you must be careful to avoid hurting your mate. But many marriages are in such need of sharing feelings that the risk must be taken. If you can't share feelings with your spouse, your marriage is on superficial ground. You won't grow, and neither will your partner. So Does it have to be done in the right context and setting so that you're not hurting one another? Of course, and you want to be careful of that. But you've got to take some risk along the way. You can't have feelings or feeling at odds or different or strongly about something and not sharing with your spouse, because you're going to continue to have this divide that's growing in your marriage and in your home, and it's going to feel like, why is this there? Somebody has to poke the bear. Somebody has to be able to bring that up. It's kind of like when you have a wound and sometimes it's super sore, and you just, if you don't touch it, you can kind of tolerate and bear it. But if you'll poke that thing and let it release, that doesn't feel good, but man, it feels good when it's over. Susanna came to me this morning. She said, I don't know how, but I got a bad splinter right there. She was showing me where. And she said, could you get it out? And I was, she gave me some tweezers and I was trying to get it out. And I said, honey, I'm going to need like a pin or something. I mean, we got to go deep on this one. So she got me this pin and got it sharp. And it wasn't fun getting it out. That hurts, you know, poking your skin and kind of messing with it that way. If you've had those, man, that hurts. But it feels really good when you get that thing out. And sometimes in a relational context, there's something festering and festering and festering, and we just sometimes feel like, well, I'll just stay away from it, and it'll all be okay. No, it won't. It'll get worse. It'll get infected. It will grow. You've got to get in there and get it out. And sometimes that's maybe, let's go talk to somebody. Let's get the help that we need, but let's get this resolved. We cannot allow this to grow between us. And so we've got to be willing to go deep in that kind of communication. The letter D, deep communication, is also meaningful in content. Meaningful in content. We communicate more now than we ever have before. Social media and all these kinds of things. And sometimes it's just overwhelming how much is out there and how little of it really even matters. And we want to be careful in our relationships that we're nurturing to have meaningful content to the conversation. You say, like what? And let me just give you some ideas of things you might talk about that would lead to this kind of communication. What you read in your Bible that day. What did you learn? What did God teach you? What spoke to your heart? That would be a meaningful topic. Maybe just some concerns you're having about your life or marriage or family. Maybe some burdens on your heart you're praying about and sharing that with your spouse. Well, I'm really praying about this, and I'd like it if you pray with me about that. Maybe things you're thankful for. I talked to Marlon and Ian Jeanette, just got back from a trip, and he said, boy, one of the things we did on the trip was we did a World War II tour. And he said, man, I'm just so thankful for what we have. And just some of the wickedness and devaluing of people that he witnessed there on the tour just made him thankful for what we have. And expressing that to our spouse. Expressing hopes for our future and for our children, areas where we're attempting to grow. These are the kinds of things that will lead to meaningful communication. Dennis and Barbara Rainey, in their book, Starting a Marriage Off Right, said, to communicate with depth, you've got to determine what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, and when you're going to say it. You've got to be careful to plan out the communication so that it is drawing you closer to the Lord and one to another. Then let us see, deep communication includes listening. Includes listening. You say, Gabe, man, I can communicate with the best of them. I've got that down. This is my lesson. But deep communication includes listening as well. The Bible says in James, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear. And we want to work at being a good listener. If you asked your spouse, honey, what kind of a listener am I? What grade would you get from them? How's your communication? How is your listening? There's the five levels of listening. There's the fake listening. We've all been guilty of that. Our spouse has been talking. We've been in their presence. We're nodding our head. Everything is good until we get asked a question about what has just been said. And then there's this blank look like, oh man, what were they talking about? And honey, that was so good. Would you say it again, you know? And I want to really get it this time. And fake listening. Man, sometimes we're guilty of that. And boy, we can pay the price. Selective listening. And we hear only what we want to hear. And sometimes we kind of have our own thoughts about things. And so we hear something and we agree with that. We hear something we don't agree. We act like we didn't even hear that part. Selective listening. Sometimes defensive listening. we're listening, but we're really just building our defense. We're ready to kind of go back at them with something else when it's all said and done. Surface listening, just about the things that really don't matter. But there's focused listening. And that's the kind of listener we want to be in our marriages. Focused, undivided attention, striving truly to understand what is being communicated to us. So we can communicate with depth. And it is my prayer that every marriage in this room would benefit from deep communication, taking the time to go deep in communication, connecting at a heart level. My challenge to you would be closer to your spouse than any other human being on the planet. That's not going to happen without going deep. Okay? You say, well, I've got a friend and I can talk to them about for hours about anything. That's fine. But it really counts when it's at home. Well, I don't know that I could ever be as close to him or her as I am to so-and-so. Well, you should have decided that the day you said I do. That kind of comes with that. There's a closeness associated with marriage that you should be enjoying. And it's not just about the physical act, but there is an intimacy and a connection that comes through deeply communicating one with the other, something we all must work at and give emphasis to. But secondly, you can communicate with grace. Luke 4, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. What was a hallmark of the ministry and life of the Lord Jesus Christ? The gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Wouldn't that be great to be said about anyone in this room? Man, oh, so-and-so, I work with them. Boy, they're so kind. They're always so gracious. They always have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So how can we communicate with the grace like the Lord Jesus Christ? A couple thoughts. Letter A, gracious communication is appreciative. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Jim Benny in his book, The Ministry of Marriage, said, it's not enough to merely see the good. A mate needs to hear your appreciation of it. I learned that 4 compliments are often required to offset 1 criticism and maintain a balance of self-worth in a person. We've talked over and over, if you've been in his design, about the importance of expressing appreciation. This past week, what did you express to your spouse appreciation for? And there ought to be many things. And you say, well, I didn't express appreciation for anything. Shame on you. You should. You should. You say, well, I don't know what it would be. They're putting up with you. Start there and work from there. Come on, friend. None of us are perfect. We've all got room to grow, and we want to be in tune in our relationship and looking for what are we appreciative of, and let's express appreciation to our spouse. Let's let them know that we're appreciative of them specifically and communicate that to them. It's appreciative, but gracious communication, letter B, is honest, speaking the truth in love. We talked about that, getting deep in communication and the ability to open up. The longer you're dishonest and harbor a thought or feeling about something from your spouse, the greater that chasm grows where between you and them there's divide. And sometimes it's frustrating in the marriage context because you don't know why it's there. You know that we're not as close as we used to be. We share the same address and we're 2 ships passing in the night, but it's just, it's cold. It's grown tired. It doesn't feel like it used to feel, but I can't put my finger on it. Oftentimes, what's there is something under the surface that needs to be talked about. And there needs to be an environment in your relationship where you can speak the truth in love. You want to know how to create the kind of environment in your marriage where you can say anything in love? Be committed. Be committed. Commitment is the bedrock to unlock the ability to communicate honestly. If my wife knows that I love her, that I am committed to her, and that is never going to change, but, you know, the fact that she wakes me up every morning by pouring cold water on me is something I really don't like. And where she got the idea, I don't know, but it's not something I appreciate, and I wish she would stop. Now, that's not really happening, but I'm just saying, whatever it is that's going on that needs to be communicated, we need to be able to communicate honestly, but that honest communication is only going to come when there is the bedrock of commitment, when we know we're committed one to another. Letter C, gracious communication is harmless. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. We read in James, it's full of deadly poison. Friend, be careful what you say. Gracious communication is harmless. It's protective of what is being communicated. And listen, we're talking in the same breath about speaking the truth in love. I'm not talking about withholding truth. But I'm also saying do that in a way that it's harmless. There's no reason for me to degrade my wife in order to make a point. There's no reason for me to be mean or to be critical or demeaning or berating in any way in order to make a point. I can speak the truth in love and still do it in kindness. I can speak the truth in love and still do it in a way that affirms my love and my commitment, but the need to put forth truth. We've got to make sure that we're not going on either side of that ditch. No, we're not unwilling to bring up truth, but we're certainly not going to do it in a way that is harmful. We want to be able to speak the truth in love. Gracious communication, letter D, is edifying. It's building our spouse up, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The Bible says in Proverbs, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. The way you and I communicate with our spouse should infuse health to them. Some in the room might take some vitamins or supplements or something, and it just gives you what you need for that day. That's how communicating with your spouse should feel. Man, when I leave their presence and that conversation, I just feel invigorated and ready for the day. Why? Because a good word maketh it glad. There's something strengthened by that kind of gracious communication. Then letter E, gracious communication is empathetic. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, the ability to understand or strive to what my spouse is going through. Jim Benny said, what is mercy? It is my commitment to appeal to another's perception for the purpose of ministering to him at the level of his need. It is crawling inside of someone else's skin, feeling what he feels on the basis of the understanding gleaned, ministering to him. Sometimes in the context of marriage, a couple might just throw their hands up and say, forget it, I'm never going to understand. But gracious communication is the diligent pursuit to try to understand, to crawl inside of that skin, to gain an understanding, and from that vantage point to connect, relate, and minister on a greater level. Deep communication. Gracious communication. Lastly, you can communicate with effectiveness. Every husband and wife in this room can communicate effectively. Some of you were blessed to come from great homes with great examples. You've been in church. You have a lot of tools. Some, the background is different. Maybe home life was no example at all. Maybe the way communication happened in the home in which you were reared is the communication you would want to avoid. Maybe it's been a short time around the Word of God and just learning these principles and trying to put them into practice. But can I encourage everyone in this room, irregardless of your story or history, you can communicate effectively in your relationship. With God's help, you can have a system by which you can communicate effectively with your spouse. Now, what is effective communication? Let me give you some thoughts as we close. Letter A, effective communication seeks to understand before being understood. Dwell with them according to knowledge was God's challenge. And God wants you and I to strive to understand our spouse. And sometimes, I'll tell you, that's hard to do. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's like when your wife says, I have nothing to wear. What she means is, I have nothing new. When the husband says, I have nothing to wear, what he means is, I have nothing clean, okay? So it's saying the same thing means something totally different, all right? And that's the way it is. Sometimes it's hard to understand. But these simple misagreements, if they're not understood, can lead to full-blown arguments and great division in a relationship unnecessarily. So we must seek to understand. Jim Benny said, the tendency is to devote our efforts to getting our mate to come to where we live rather than going to where he or she is. In fact, many marriages deteriorate into a scratching, clawing effort to get the other mate to understand me. We are naturally more conscious of our own needs and sensitive to them than we are of those of our mate. Can I give you an assignment this week? This week, strive to understand your spouse. Hang up the mantle of understanding me and just go understand them. And strive to understand. You want to do that first before being understood. Letter B. Effective communication considers the meaning beyond the words. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. What is the meaning beyond the words? Have you ever asked your spouse, how are you doing? And got an answer like, I'm fine. And you knew in your heart they were not fine. They said they were, but they were not. But you were tempted to be like, hey, they said they were fine, you know. Ball game's on. See you later, you know. And just, I'm going about today. But all along knowing that's not what they were communicating. Seeing the meaning beyond the words. Being willing to go a little deeper. To investigate. To understand if there's something going on in the heart that I need to be aware of or can address or can help with. I want to be willing to do that. Letter C. Effective communication makes appropriate use of tone of voice, facial expression, and body language. We're careful about the way we communicate. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among the fools. Now, there is great power in quiet words. And sometimes we think that in order to make a point, we've got to raise our voice, we've got to shout and scream and yell, we've got to kick something, throw something, whatever. But honestly, when we do that, we're just drawing more attention to the mechanics than we are the message. The way it was communicated is emphasized, but the words, those were trivialized. We've got to be careful in the way we speak. Ted Tripp said, shouting puts emotion in the foreground and meaning in the background. Let's be careful that the antics with which we communicate are not the highlight. Let's be careful that we're just speaking in a way that's loving and kind and respectful and where the words are the emphasis. That's the way we should communicate. We want to be careful about our tone, our facial expression. We don't want to be trying to say something kind to our spouse and giving them the stare of death, you know, and then wondering why they're getting perturbed, you know. We don't want to do weird, manipulative things like that. We just want to ask God to forgive us and to be kind and to be careful. Letter D, effective communication bears the heart ahead of the words. Let not your heart be troubled, the Bible says. I want to bear the heart ahead of the words. I want to be careful. I know what I'm saying has power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what I'm communicating has meaning. I want to be careful to evaluate the heart of my spouse. How are they doing? How are they receiving this? I want to make sure that we remain a team, unified together moving forward. Letter E, effective communication. Thinks before speaking. How many times I wish I would have done that. The heart of the righteous man studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. I mean, he can't get one thing said before another one comes. But what does the righteous man do? He studieth to answer. Bible tells us in Proverbs, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Study the book of Proverbs. Not a lot of hope for a fool. But the Bible says there's more hope for the fool than there is for the man who is hasty in his words. Be careful. Think before you speak. Now, is communication a challenge for many relationships? Of course. Why? Because Satan doesn't want your marriage to thrive and succeed. He wants it divided. He wants it destroyed. And one of the bedrocks to a strong relationship is the ability to communicate openly and honestly. So, let's not just come to class and leave class and kind of throw our hands in the air and say, well, we're never going to be able to do that. Let's not do that. Let's remember, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We can communicate. We can do well in this area. So this week, let's try to go a little deeper. Let's get down to some meaningful conversation. Let's be gracious. Let's speak in a way, leaving our spouse wanting more. And let's be effective. Let's put some of these biblical principles to practice that will help our marriage go deeper, thrive, and last longer through exemplifying these biblical principles in our life and our relationship and in our communication so that it's effective and strengthening to the relationship that God has given to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together this morning and learning. And Lord, every one of us has room to grow. And that's why we're here. We don't hide that. Lord, we need you. We need truth. We need adjustment in our lives and in our relationships, for we want them to please and to honor you. And so, Lord, as we think about communication this morning, would you help us? Would you strengthen us? Would you help us to be humble, to see our need, to be willing to apply your word, and to grow? And God, I pray as a result of these things that in our relationships, we indeed would be strengthened, that our marriages would be a testimony of your grace, that they would be stronger than they've ever been before, and that we would be closer to our spouse than we've ever been before through the ability biblically to communicate effectively. Lord, would you bless every family in this room? Would you give them a wonderful week, protect them and watch over them, bless them and give them favor? And I pray next Sunday that we would continue on this journey, growing closer to you and to one another. And we'll praise and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.